Back at it today, the Razorback Inn all week, the Razorback Camper Sales Studios on the road. We're in Canton, Ohio, actually today in Akron. We haven't made it down to Canton yet, but we'll be heading that way here shortly, doing some stories for Fox 16 tonight at 5:30 and 9 from Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got to talk about the Razorbacks, though, and we're going to do that with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. He joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Jimmy, how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good. You know, it's always kind of a sort of a bummer when fall camp starts because you get really busy all of a sudden. But on the bright side, it keeps me from wasting money on my floundering golf game. So I guess you can. That's the way I choose to look at it.
Jimmy, hey, I want you to help me with the Culligan Water question of the day. We with the first injury of camp yesterday, I'm asking everybody, and then we're going to create a poll question. Who is the one Razorback they can least afford to lose to injury? But no Austin Allen. You can't give me Austin Allen. He's excluded from this poll question.
Okay.
The one Razorback that they can least afford to lose.
Yeah, Austin Allen was going to be the obvious answer, so I'm glad that you excluded him from the question. I would say arguably Dre Greenlaw. I mean, just because last year he went down. Do you disagree? Do you agree? That last?
No, because now you've given me six. I put it on Twitter, and here's what I've gotten so far. Ryan Pulley, Frank Ragnow, Sosa Agim, Devla Whaley, and Jared Cornelius. And I was going to ask you to cut one of them off the list for me to create the final four, and now I've got to cut two because you're absolutely right. Dre Greenlaw has got to be on that list. We saw what happened with the defense when he was leading the team in tackles when he was lost, and the defense suffered.
And that was with Brooks Ellis playing with him, an experienced guy who'd been through the SEC. Right now it's Scooter Harris, who hasn't played. Honestly, if I had to cut two off that list, it would probably be Pulley, even though I think he's going to have a huge year. I think corner is probably the strength of the defense. You can use strength relatively, but I think that that's probably the strength of the defense. And then, I think Cornelius is a good, obviously the most proven receiver that they have. But I would put Greenlaw easily above both of those guys. Probably, you know, everybody else on that list you can make an argument for at least. But I think Greenlaw, just the experience that he has, he's the only guy that's proven at linebacker. You know, obviously they're really excited about Randy Ramsey and what he can do at that hog position and the Razor spot. But they don't have anybody that's actually proven it for as long as Dre Greenlaw has at the level that he has. And so they're counting on him to be the guy that leads the defense and is getting everybody where they're supposed to be lined up. And also they need him to lead them in tackles. That's what that position is supposed to do. And they don't have anybody that comes close to his combination of athleticism, playmaking, and experience behind him. So I think, I don't know, for me that was a fairly easy answer, I thought. But I can see your other options too.
It's okay. All right. If you're doing this poll question, it's Greenlaw, Ragnow, Whaley, and Agim or Cornelius?
Whaley's definitely got to be in there. I would probably lead toward maybe Agim, just because I think that, they really don't have very many proven playmakers on the defensive line. And obviously, he was just a freshman last year, but you could see the flashes of him being that sort of guy. So you take him away, and they really don't have anybody that stands out as a somebody who commands a double team or is just somebody who can be a disruptive presence on the D-line. So I think that they're going to be young no matter what at receiver. So obviously, losing Cornelius would be a blow. They don't have him right now because he's out with a back injury. But I think that they have some athleticism there. They're going to be young there no matter what. I would say losing a game would be – I would keep a game on there instead of Cornelius.
What's your sense with Cornelius? Are they being overly cautious, or is there something to this?
I think they might be being overly cautious. You know, they're not really going to say. Obviously, it doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime soon. It might be something where he doesn't really actually get back into practice until they start their game prep for the season opener. But – I think at the same time, it's probably safe to be, it's probably safe to be a little bit on the cautious side because backs are finicky. You never know exactly how they're going to heal, and one little tweak in your back is at square one. So there's no real need to rush him back. He's a proven commodity. They know what he's going to do. They know what he's capable of. Sure, it'd be nice to have him out there, but it's not like he's going to miss a ton by not being out there. And at the same time, they've got so many new faces at receiver that him not being there is just more reps for those guys. Guys like Jordan Jones or TJ Hammonds, guys who haven't played very much. You got a lot of freshmen, the junior college guys, and they're all getting more reps because Jared Cornelius isn't there. Now, if we get a week before the opener and he's still not back, then at that point it begins to become a, you know, a more serious thing, and you kind of start to wonder how long he's going to be impacted by this, because, you know, you never really know his back. It's different from one person to the next. I think they're optimistic, but at the same time, they don't feel the need to rush him back, and they probably shouldn't.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter, WholeHogSports.com. All right, four practices in. What has caught your eye, Jimmy? Were there any surprises? Was there some kids that really impressed you so far?
Well, I think hands down this has to go to Jordan Jones. I mean, the kid went from having one good scrimmage in the spring, and he worked with the second team exclusively, and it had a long touchdown catch, but didn't do anything the rest of the scrimmages that they had. And really the coaching staff all talked about how he needed to get better with the playbook and needed to continue to mature in order to play. And he's been the star for the offense so far in fall camp. He had four long touchdowns apparently in the first few days of fall camp, and they're all or mostly against the first team defense. So he's appeared to make a jump at least to this point. And that's big because he's got the speed and ball skills that maybe nobody else has the combination of that like he does. He's got maybe the best speed on the team, and he gives them somebody that Austin Allen can throw it up and let him go get it. You know, obviously they had Dominique Reed the last 2 years, but that was the big knock on Dominique Reed, right? He didn't know the plays. And they, at least so far, have been really happy with the way Jordan, I guess, has locked in over the summer and got into the playbook, and he knows where he's supposed to line up, at least at this point, and he's been consistent in being where he's supposed to be and being on the same page with Austin Allen. And that's going to be maybe what determines who plays as much as anything at receiver is who can be on the same page as Allen, you know, because a lot of times quarterback's interceptions are the result of the receiver not running the right route or not making the right read. And so I think that's something that, you know, obviously all these guys are physically gifted or talented, but I think the fact that Jordan was able to really become better with his playbook, with his reads, and you know, just become more of a student of the game, that's what's put him over the top, because he's never really lacked the physical skills. He's always been one of the most athletic guys on the team, but he's starting to put it together more with the mental side of the ball, and everybody has basically raved about how impressive he's been so far, and I think they're starting to think that that's for real, and that they can maybe count on him as a big contributor this year.
Jimmy Carter's with us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline, WholeHogSports.com. Jimmy, TJ Hammonds was a guy that jumped out to me. You know, we heard, you know, he's going to do a little wide receiver, a little running back, and then out of the blue, it seemed like yesterday, it was like, well, TJ Hammonds is going to be our wide receiver. You know, he's going to be first team. I was like, whoa. Where this come from? So he must have been, he's doing something to impress them.
Yeah, I just think he's somebody with the ball in his hands that gives them something that not many other guys on the team can do. He's really, really elusive. He's quick. He can get in and out of cuts, you know, really, really sharply. They moved him to receiver in the spring just to kind of give him a crash course there and see what he could handle. After spring practice, they decided that, hey, you know, we're going to keep him here. Even after Raleigh Williams goes down and decides to retire, they were still steadfast in keeping TJ at receiver. And I think he's really impressed them, really, in fall camp. He's just really, really gifted once you get the ball in his hands. And because he's so good with the ball in his hands, I think, they're still going to line him up at running back. Dan Enos said that the other day. They're still lining him up there in practice. He's going to be... I think the comparison you always hear with him is a Percy Harvin type guy. And, yeah, Percy Harvin was a receiver, but he lined up all over the place, and they got him the ball in a lot of different ways. And I think that's what they want to do with TJ. And, you know, I think that the way he is able to just make plays after the catch or coming to the backfield on whether it be like a jet sweep or even lining up at running back. Just they like trying to get him the ball because he's explosive. And, you know, that's the kind of player that, even though, you know, Devon Whaley is going to be more than likely one of the leading rushers in the SEC this year. He's going to get carries to do it. They've got some solid receivers. Jerick Cornelius is a solid receiver. I think they think T.J. Hammonds has the kind of explosiveness that maybe neither of those guys have at their positions. So getting him the ball, you know, whether it be 8, 10 touches a game, 5, 10 touches, getting involved in the kick return game, I think they really want to make a concerted effort to try and get him the ball and give him the ability to break big plays because they think he can be kind of a game changer for him.
We kind of saw that from Joe Adams his senior year. You know, he ran out of the backfield a couple of times in the course of the punt returns and catching it. You see that a similar role for TJ?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really say, yeah, this guy's going to be Joe Adams. That's a lofty bar. Joe is, you know, arguably the most electric guy they've had in the last, what, decade or so? He was incredible, but yeah, I think they want to use him all over the field. They want to make him a guy the defense has to be cognizant of where he lines up. And I think that he's played and performed well enough in practice so far for them to think he's ready for more of a workload, more of a burden, because he's been productive. And by all accounts, he's really, you know, for being a second-year guy, he's going through it. He's a sophomore. And he started to take the steps that they wanted him to take, the steps that they wanted some of these veteran receivers to take. He's taking them, and so he's been rewarded.
On, I guess it was Saturday, Coach Bielema, or maybe it was, I don't know when. I'm confused now. All these days are running together. But he sent a message to some of those, like, sophomore wide receivers and was talking and praising the freshman wide receivers. Do you think that was a threat, or do you think there's a chance that some of these freshman receivers play right away?
I think it was a wake-up call. I think it was a wake-up call for guys like Deion Stewart, like LaMichael Petway, guys who have been on campus for a while but haven't really produced to this point. And he even touched on it a little bit yesterday, that he views the third spring, third summer, as the halfway point for these guys. And if you're not making a move by that point in his eyes, then it's kind of like, well, what are you here for? There's going to be some younger guy that comes and passes you up inevitably. And I think they feel like they've got a lot of talent in that freshman class. Coylin Jackson, Devion Warren is apparently one of the fastest guys on the team. Gerard Barnes from Cabot. They feel like they've got the athletes in that class. And if these older guys still don't get the playbook, if they're still making buffs, and still, you know, not doing things the right way. If a freshman can come in and do in a short amount of time what you were not able to do consistently in a couple of years, then they're probably going to look at making a move. I think he's like how Deion Stewart responded. He still hasn't really mentioned LaMichael Petway all that much. None of them have him or Eno. So it'll be interesting to see kind of who emerges because they've got so many receivers. You know, not a lot of them are proven, but they've just got a ton of young receivers. So it's kind of seeing who emerges from that will be interesting. But, yeah, I definitely think there was a message sent there because after the first few practices, I don't know if they were happy with how those older guys had played in comparison to some of the young new guys that they're bringing in.
We're talking with Jimmy Carter. He joins us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. Before we let you go, I got to touch on the defense. The biggest note coming out of the first four practices about the defense is what?
I think that Jamario Bell goes down with the millionth foot injury that they've had, and you may look at that and say, well, this guy's never played. He's, you know, a backup. It's not that big of a loss, and maybe you're right. But he had a good spring. By all accounts, he's had a good summer. He's, you know, physically, he's still a great athlete, and I think that they were excited about him. So then you look at the linebacker depth, the thing that's always kind of hung over them the last few years, and there's just one less guy that they have now. One guy that can run that really, you know, you look, they're wanting to play these two outside linebacker kind of rush in guys. He's somebody that physically, he fit that bill. He, Randy Ramsey, those two, Carl Rosser, they really physically were able to play that position. So he goes down and you move a guy like Dwayne Eugene in there, who's, he's going to get more reps now and maybe not quite the same not quite the same type of athlete, type of player, but, you know, it's kind of been an ongoing thing. They've had to deal with linebacker issues, injuries the last few years, and that's kind of crept up again. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle Dre Greenlaw the rest of fall camp. I don't know that he's going to scrimmage a whole lot just because they don't want to rush him back. They don't want to have anything happen with him again because, again, they can't afford to. But, you know, linebacker depth is always an issue, and it kind of crept back into the conversation again this week just because, you know, the millionth, it seemed like, foot injury happened. And so you're right back talking about, do they have enough depth? And he really don't know.
What was Jamario Bell running on the second team?
He had been late in spring, and he was somebody that I think, you know, who knows how much he would have played. But now you're looking at, does a freshman have to step up in that spot? You know, you just get your one guy down. And so I think they were really excited about the way he attacked the offseason and attacked a new position. And so to lose him, you just makes you that much thinner at a position where you don't have a ton of guys that you can have play the way you want to play, at least at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how they go, how they do moving forward.
Jimmy, thank you. I appreciate your time as always. Great stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Have fun in Canton.
Thank you, sir. Jimmy Carter joining us on the Fidelity Communications Hotline. We will have fun in Canton, no doubt about it.